shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians called to a higher level of understanding will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Good evening. This is Brother Mike of Kingdom Identity Ministries, welcoming you to another one of our first of the month Kingdom Concepts broadcast, which is heard live the first Sunday of each month. We're being heard tonight over shortwave radio station WWCR on both transmitter 3 and transmitter 4. That's 4.840 megahertz and 5.890 megahertz. And shortwave station WVCQ, 7.490 megahertz. Both of those stations do have an internet link, and you can also go to our website, kingidentity.com. Go to the radio page, and you can find a link direct there. Tonight, we're going to be having a special program. It'll be a panel discussion discussing the Jewish problem. The subtitle of Henry Ford's book, The International Jew, called it the world's foremost problems. All aspects, including their origin, history, current activities, etc., are open for discussion tonight. My guests for the program on the panel are Pastor Bob Jones. He's a graduate of our AIT Bible course, an active promoter of the Kingdom Message, and one of the trustees of this ministry. David James, our webmaster, and he also has his own internet radio program. And Dr. Edward Weed, the author of The Origins of Communism, a book that we carry. Plus, he has a new book that I'll let him tell you about later in the broadcast. I'd like to welcome all of you gentlemen to the broadcast.
Thank you, Mike. It's very nice to do the show with you.
Well, this is a little bit different tonight, and it's a big topic. Who would like to go first?
I'll be happy to go first.
Okay.
and the Hivites and the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites and all the other kikes and all the way down. These days, they're in the modern term, they're called Sephardic Jews, which is, depending on who you talk to, 5 to 10% of the Jews in the world, and the other 85 to 95% are the Ashkenazi or Khazar Jew. There's a lot more Jews than that, though, folks. There's Jews in every country in the world. There's Japanese Jews, Chinese Jews. In fact, the Chinese Jews were the first one. I'm sure there's Eskimo Jews and Amazon jungle Jews, and they've spread everywhere, and they intermix with the people because race mixing is the original sin, and that's what kills that seed line going forward. It can never be pure again once it's been race mixed. We do have pure white race left on this earth. Not many, as the race mixing is big in the white race, but we do have pure white race, and we have pure black race. They're mostly found in Africa. Probably 95% of the so-called blacks in America are mixed mongrel of some type that there is, and the Jews are certainly in there. They're called Falasha Jews, that they are black and Jew. Obongo, they're the ex-president, he was a Jew, and first and foremost, his mother, Stanley Ann Dunham, was a Jew. And so as you go forward, and there are some pure yellow race still left, but most of the planet these days is mixed mongrel. Of one type or another, and mixed mongrels actually fall into two categories, either with the Jew DNA in them or Satan DNA in them, and those without, because Cain from the start was a mixed mongrel, and so he's done the best they can down through the ages to destroy Yahweh's pure creation. They've done a good job. But they're not going to win at the final end, and you can read all about that in Genesis 3:15.
I'll let you other gentlemen just jump in anytime you want to. It's a big subject, and I know you both well informed, and just have your say.
Okay, I wanted to go next because I wanted to take off where Bob started in the garden there. There's something that Yahweh had revealed to me that I think is the proof that Cain is who he says. You know, people will say to you that the story of the garden is not true. When it is true, of course it's true. You see, a corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. And when Cain brought his offering to Yahweh, he brought him fruit. And it was deemed by Yahweh, I think this is very interesting, that it was deemed by Yahweh that it was not good fruit. He didn't accept his offering. Because a corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. When we see the offspring of Cain, we see that the corrupt tree of Cain's lineage, which is not in Adam's lineage anywhere in the Bible, we can see that they cannot bring forth good fruit. So Yeshua showed us that when he claimed that they were guilty of all the bloodshed, all the way from Abel, all the way to Zechariah, whom they slayed between the temple and the altar. And they're also guilty of all the bloodshed from then till now. This bloodshed has been going on for a long time. So we can see that immediately, the reason why the devil was in the garden in the first place, or why he was down here on the planet, was because in the book of Adam and Eve, it talks about that Michael the archangel told Hallel, which is transferred to Lucifer in Latin. Hallel is his name. He was told to worship the image of God, which was Adam. And he refused to worship the image of God. He said, I am an older being than he is. He should worship me. The angels were all told to worship the image of God, which is Adam, the offspring of Yahweh, naturally. And that's why, you know, he was hurled out of heaven. a third of the angels agreed with him, and they were hurled out of heaven. So he was hurled down here, and it tells you in the book that he has hated the race of Adam ever since, and so has his offspring. So if you want to know why they are pursuing us the way they've pursued us since the garden, you'll know that he got thrown out of his first estate, which was heaven. He was divided from the heavenly realm. And now we already had eternal life. We already had the glory of God, which some call Shekinah glory. Some people get upset when you call it Shekinah glory because the Jews have tainted the term. However, we have light in our blood, and we have a light about us. We did in the garden, that is. So what's very interesting about that is that the devil promised Eve that she could become a god, but she already was a god. She already had eternal life. She already had the glory of God, the light about her, the same as Adam. So she fell for that. She fell for that little deal there and had the sexual intercourse with the angel. And that proves that she did when I told you a corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. As we know, Cain was a murderer from the beginning. He was a liar. He lied to the very face of Yahweh without any problem at all. He had no problem with that. No sense of guilt, no sense of shame, no sense of anything to do with I killed my brother. So when Yahweh had confronted him, he knew that he had killed him, and he asked him, "Well, where's your brother?" We all know the story, right? And he says, "Well, what am I, my brother's keeper?" But the problem was is the blood, the life force that we have in our bodies as Adamic people, which the Jews do not have, was crying out from the ground to Yahweh. That means that the life force was still alive. Abel's life force in the blood that was in the ground was still communicating with Yahweh. So I'll go on just a little more here. Yahweh revealed to me something that was very important about that. And what that is that these Jews who have been doing ritual murder sacrifice, child ritual murder sacrifice, which is now called abortion in America, and they have gone as far as to legalize child ritual murder sacrifice, which is what they were thrown out of the 109 times out of the countries of Europe for. Not only that, but usury, etc., etc. We all know what they're guilty of. They weren't thrown out of the countries of Europe because they're a holy people and a righteous people, because you don't throw the good seed out of your garden. If they were a blessing to all nations, you wouldn't throw them out of your country, would you? And the seed of Abraham, of course, is known to be a blessing to all nations. So the Jews that are drinking the blood, they have no life force in their blood, and they have a problem in their blood, in their bone marrow, which they need to race mix in order to stay alive, in order to survive. This is why they do the child ritual murder sacrifice. This is why they want the blood from those abortion clinics. That's why all the children are missing. They drink the blood, and they believe that that blood is going to give them. It's just like a vampire movie. When you've seen a vampire movie, you think it's fiction. But literally, you have Bela Lugosi with a big hooked nose, and he's going to bite an Adamic woman's neck and suck her blood. For what? For sustenance. That creature hides in the dark. That creature, when it sees the cross, just like the real Jews, it gets all upset. When it sees the light of Yahweh, or the light at all, it is burnt up, or it has to hide. So we see that what I told the Jews is something very important I wanted them to think about, is that like Abel's blood crying out to Yahweh, when they drink the blood of our people, of our children, that blood is inside of them crying out to Yahweh. So it's like a beacon crying out to Yahweh from inside of them, and you wonder why they're mentally ill? When I tell them something like that, you know that that's got to work on their brains, what little they have. And so I turn it over to you, Dr. Weed.
Well, the Sigmund Freud himself, who was a Jew, said that schizophrenia was exclusive to the Jewish race of people. That's a testimony of them themselves. And what we see there, one, you have to look at what Cain did there in chapter 4. If you look at some of the oldest transcripts of the parchments of the scriptures, you will find that he premeditated. He wasn't just out in the field talking with his half-brother Abel. He premeditated. He asked, you know, Abel if he would go out into the field with him so that he could waylay him, so that he could kill him, because his sacrifice had been received and Cain's had not. But Yahweh had already cursed the ground. Yahweh had already cursed the ground because of the sin. And yet, Cain comes along bringing things from the ground and still doing the very foolish things that Adam and Eve did initially before they were shown the importance of the sheepskin covering and the blood covering. And so the thing that I would like to point people to, you were talking about the blood and their desire to have it. If there's people listening tonight that have questions about what we are talking about here, I would challenge you to do this. I would challenge you to go and Google or YouTube Jewish circumcision. It's a nasty practice that where they literally, the rabbi literally puts his mouth on the child's privates and sucks the blood when they cut the skin. It's such a disturbing practice that many Jewish lay people within the Jewish religion, because their religion doesn't mean a whole lot to them. There's not a lot of people. I mean, when they get married or they die, they have a Jewish religious service performed, but it means nothing to them on a regular basis. But there's been so many Jews that have been so concerned about the process of the Jewish circumcision that they have gotten out of the Jewish religion altogether. And so, and I would also encourage people to look into what the Jews say themselves. You know, I'm a big fan of looking at what they say, because a lot of times people don't trust what I say or what you gentlemen have said or anything of that nature, because, oh, we're just racist or we're just biased idiots, and, you know, there's something wrong with us. If we didn't have so much hate, you know, everything would be fine. So I challenge you to go straight to the Jewish sources. Again, look at the Jewish videos. Don't take my word for it. Prove me wrong. That's what I always tell people. Go out there and find these videos of them doing these circumcisions. It will nauseate you what they are willing to do and what they do. It comes back to largely what you were talking about. But, and also, I mean, they mock us, you know, in their own writings. If you go back and you look it up and you can find them out of print bookstores in a lot of places now, but you go back and look in the 1925 Jewish Encyclopedia, Volume 5, page 41, you will find that modern day Jews, and this is their own writings. This is the Jewish Encyclopedia, 1925, Volume 5, page 41. Modern day Jews are the descendants of Esau, Edom. Now that's the Jewish Encyclopedia.
Edom is in modern Jewry. Edom is in modern Jewry, yes. Is exactly what it says. Sorry to interrupt you.
That's okay. So that's what you're looking at here. And strictly speaking, the 1980 Jewish Almanac says it is incorrect to call an ancient Israelite a Jew or to call a contemporary Jew an Israelite or a Hebrew. Now, if you talk to most Jews today in the world, you will hear that they are the Ashkenazi Jew or Sephardic Jew. So that's what I usually ask people. When they talk about these chosen people and these Jews being the chosen race, I ask a question. Are they Ashkenazi or are they Sephardic? And they look at you like, what? Because they don't know the difference. If you read, you will find once again, you have to look at the Jewish writings, the Jewish, they tell you themselves. You don't even have to look beyond their own writings because they get caught up in them, you know, in their own, crap. You can weed through it and find all the lies that they tell. According to the New Standard Jewish Encyclopedia, copyright 1968, volume 1, Ashkenazi or Ashkenazism constituted before 1933 some 9/10 of the Jewish people. Now, Ashkenazi Jews came into existence about 1,200 years ago, which was during the 8th century. As of 1968, it is believed by some Jewish authorities that the Ashkenazi Jews made up 100% of the Jewish population. Now, this information proves that the Jews living today cannot be the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob, for their origins, by their own testimony, dates back only to the 8th century. This is in the New Standard Jewish Encyclopedia, 1968, Volume 1. It's very simple. It's very, very simple. They do not have the true connection back to Israel. They don't even admit that in their own writings regarding their religion. Even their religion doesn't date back to the time. Everybody in today's world seems to be confused and say, oh, these people, they date back to the time of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Not according to their own writings, they don't. Not according to their own writings. According to their own writings, they tell you in the 1944 Jewish Encyclopedia, Volume 8, page 474. Go look it up for yourself. I'm giving you the stuff you can go find so you can prove me wrong. As a religion, Judaism can be traced back to the time of the scribes and Pharisees or to the year 536 BCE. Abraham lived between about 2166 BCE or 2000 BCE. So we have a problem, don't we? There's a major gap between the time frames of where they claim their religion stems back from. You see, they don't worship the same Father. That's what a lot of people say today. Oh, they serve the same Father we do. They just don't receive Yahweh in the flesh. That is not true according to 1 John chapter 2. He is an antichrist who denies that Yahweh came in the flesh. They don't serve our Father. They don't know our Father. If you've seen Yeshua the Christ, then you've seen Yahweh the Father. That's what he said. Is this correct?
That's correct? Correct.
Yeah, correct.
All right, well, there we have our other witnesses.
Would you mind if I say something, Bob, before you go? And that is this one thing I'd like to say, is that they've got a game going on with that whole thing. Number one, Judaism is not a religion whatsoever. Judaism is the traditions of men. And what the secret of the whole thing about the Talmud, the books of the Talmud, not the watered-down version, the real one, the Babli, what the real thing is about it is, this is a criminal cartel. This is a criminal worldwide organization in the guise of a religion. Judaism is not a religion whatsoever. It has nothing to do with the Bible. The Bible is not Jewish literature. The Bible is Israelite literature. The second game we have going on with these Jews is something that was going on in 1961 at the hotel where this Ben Friedman talked. And I talked to Eustace Mullins years ago, and Eustace told me, I knew that was fake when I heard it. And I said, geez, I don't know what the heck he's talking about. But I had found out later that I had only heard a portion of the recording. They cut off the very end of the recording. So here's the game the Jews are playing right now. That 95% of Jewry today is the Ashkenazi Jews. And they're the evil Jews. They're the ones that are the bankers. They're the ones that are starting the wars. They're the ones that are in the Illuminati. But the other 5% of the Jews are the good Jews who belong to the tribe of Judah. Okay. Now, we all know that this is a lie. There is no such thing as a good Jew. My saying is this. Even a dead Jew is not a good Jew. Okay? So basically, that's the scam, and that's been going on for a long time. So you have this guy, Benjamin Fulford, out there saying, the Khazarian Mafia is doing this, and the Khazarian Mafia is doing that. But I'm going to tell you a little secret, and I'm sorry I'm taking this. I'll give up my next turn because of this. But you see, when you watch the movie, The Eternal Jew, it's all given away about the Khazarian Jew, the merchants. When they came down, the Germans were watching them come down, and there was not one farmer among them. Which ought to tell you a story, because Cain is not only to be a vagabond and wanderer, and what are they doing as they're coming into Germany? They're wandering because they have no country of their own. They never had a country of their own. And in Israel today, they have been trying to get that country for 68 years, and they still don't have it. The more they try to occupy it, the more blood is spilled, and the worse it's getting, because Yahweh is in control. They will not own and have a country of their own. They may have us in a stranglehold right this minute in with the central bank scheme, but they don't own our countries. These are Israelite countries, and they don't own that country, most importantly. And they never, ever will own that little country there. They're only occupying it, and Yahweh is showing that he's in control. So in other words, there's no farmers among them, which tells you a story that they are the seed line of Cain. They came from Hittite lineage. They came from Edomite lineage, etc. So a Jew is a Jew is a Jew is a Jew, no matter where he is in the world, because the Germans in that very film went to Palestine to see if those Jews were any different than the ones that were in their cities as merchants. No difference.
Even the name Cain means purchase, investment, buy, gain, etc. So it goes right along with what you're saying. I mean, even the very name of Cain describes the descendants thereof. And they go beyond just their religion. They control
all.
I thought his name meant to acquire.
But if you go
a little deeper into that, acquire. That too, that's part of it. But I mean, again, it's the acquisition there. Purchase, investment, buy, gain, all those things are connected to him. And if you look into it a little deeper, I mean, religion is their tool, not just their religion, but
it's the guise of a religion. It's not a religion at all. That's my point. Is, you know, you got to realize the advantages you can have by pretending you're a religion. You get to go through the airports and nobody will search you. You get to be smuggling drugs from country to country. You get to sit in the highest places in the synagogue. One of the things that I had found out about the Jews that Yahweh revealed to me is we all know that Germany is the tribe of Judah, and they fight like Judah fought. Judah was one of the greatest, if not the greatest warrior of all time. And what happens is, the Jews trap themselves because of the things they do. And in the Bible, of course, in the New Testament, Yeshua talks about how they like to sit in the high places. They like to take the best seats in the synagogues or in the feasts and everything.
Sure.
So what they did was, all the other tribes are gone, except for the tribe of Judah. And that's them, they say. And it just so happens that Judah is the top tribe with the scepter and the sword and the crown. So what gives it away is they took the highest seat again, because they're too stupid not to do that. But then I asked the people, well, let's look at that then. If they are truly the tribe of Judah, how good is the Israeli Army, Navy, and Air Force? How good are they? Are they one of the top militaries in the world? Because if they were the tribe of Judah, they certainly would be probably the best military force in the world, like Germany was. That's something to think about, and that reveals them for who they are. They're claiming that there's no other tribes, just the tribe of Judah left now. They took the highest seat, and they caught themselves by doing it. Sorry, Bob, I think you should be next.
No, I'd love to hear it. The deal is this. For the new people that are on the show, how the Jews came to identity theft was back around 750 BC and a little later with the Assyrian and the Babylonian captivity. The Israelites, they were taken away and became known as the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Not losses to their geographical location, but loss of their identity as to who they were and would not remember the things of old. And so the Jews have a saying, if you tell a lie long enough, it becomes the truth. And so they, which is a lie in itself, but if you tell the truth long enough, it becomes the truth because it's the truth from the beginning. But a lie is not. But they convince people, and they keep saying, we're the chosen people, we're the chosen people, for the last 2,750 years. So they are not the chosen people. And as they got to mix up in the other countries in Europe, after the white race went through the between the Caspian and the Black Sea and through the Caucasus Mountains, which is why we're called Caucasian, which there was called the Pass of Israel, and it was named that up until the Jews took over Russia by force and put communism in. But we settled all the way up into the Ural Mountains and all the way west into Europe and over into Greenland and parts of North America, Canada, and the eastern part of America. So from there, the Jews would constantly get kicked out of countries. And if you ask a Jew why they got kicked out of countries, they said, oh, people are jealous of us because we're so good at making money. That's why they ran us out. The real reason, though, and the Catholic Church knows this well, is because they would steal the little children. And they would take them down below the synagogues and other places, the slaughterhouses, and they would drink the blood out of the children. They loved the blonde-haired, blue-eyed children. And they would do a mock crucifixion of Christ, and then they would grind up the bodies into hamburger or into the sausage, either one, for people to eat. And that was one of their ways of disposing of the body and making a few shekels at the same time. And they constantly, as the people found out about that, they would kick them out. But what they should have done was kill them, but they didn't. And so the Jews always had gold and silver and gems because that's portable land, and land has always been the wealth. And so they would take off with that and, you know, escape.
Jewelry. Country, jewelry, Bob.
Yeah, jewelry. that's not a, a play on words, folks. Anyway, they would get over into the eastern area of Europe, and they became known as the Gypsies. And they wanted to get in because they got it. They're a parasite, as it were, a vampire, either way you want to call them. Both are correct. And they poisoned the water wells, and that was the actual Black Plague. They said, oh, a rat bit somebody on the rear end, and so that wiped out two-thirds of Europe. No, that's another July. They poisoned the water. And so then after they started decimating all the population, they went to the kings and princes and potentates, and they said, hey, we got a cure for to stop this so that you your people continue to live and they can pay taxes to you, Mr. King, and so forth. And so they said, okay, if you can do that, then you can stay here, and we'll set up a little area called a ghetto, which is just outside of the town. And the cure was real simple, stop poisoning the water wells. And that was the Black Plague, the true story of that. As we move more up into modern times, you know, you find out here in America and all the European countries and virtually all over the world, you have the Jews run the banks, number one. I don't think anybody would even argue that. And then they also, as Eustace Mullen said in his book, The Murder by Injection, he said, every year in America, and this was going back a few years, he said between 12,000 graduates in medical school, over 10,000 are Jews, and in the law profession, the ratio is even higher. So most of your doctors and lawyers are Jews, and then, of course, those lawyers become the judges and the politicians. And they wind up with the
I'd like to go on record as saying I'm not one of them.
You know where that stems, Bob? Why they do that, Bob? Is because in 1489, like when the Byzantine Empire broke up, the rabbis from the Byzantine Empire told them to become doctors, lawyers, apothecaries, bankers, etc. You know what I'm talking about?
Sure. Yeah, that's Shamor. He was the rabbi that told them that when they were getting kicked out of Spain. By the way, when they got kicked out of Spain, they went to a couple of different places. Some went back to Babylon. Some went up to Amsterdam and became known as the Amsterdam Jews, which later took over England with the help of Oliver Cromwell. And they installed William of Orange, who granted them the Bank of England. But another feature is that some of them went down into Sicily, and they intermarried with the Italians there, and they created the Mafia. And
that's
so
correct.
A lot of people think the Italians are the Mafia. They're not. They're Jews with Italian names. There's a lot of Italians in the lower ranks, but you don't make it up to the higher ranks unless you're pure Sicilian, as they say, which is a code word for you got Jew blood in you, or satanic DNA seed line blood in you. And that's also spread not only there, but the Russian Jews, they control that mafia, and the Japanese Yakuza, they're Japanese, and the triads in China, and so on and so forth, all the way down. And as far as the Mexican and Colombian and Peruvian and so forth, drug dealers down there, Clifton Emmaheiser did a great study that the entire Latino white race, as it were, which is a mixed Mongol race to begin with, are really Jews. They're the Sephardic Jews that came over here, and they're all part of that. So you have all your corporations. They set up these corporations. They get underwritten by the Wall Street banks. They get all the money from the stupid people that put their money into mutual funds and stuff, and the Jews get real rich, and so they control all the big corporations and so forth. And I just want to read a quick thing on the Jewish influence. This is from Henry Ford, and then I'll give up the line. It is rather surprising, is it not, that whichever way you turn to trace the harmful streams of influence that flow through society, you come upon a group of Jews. In sports corruption, a group of Jews. And he was talking back in those days about Rothstein, who fixed the World Series, the 1919 World Series with the Chicago White Sox, which later became known as the Chicago Black Sox, and exploiting finance, a group of Jews, and theatrical degeneracy, a group of Jews, and liquor propaganda, a group of Jews, absolutely dominating the wireless communication of the world, a group of Jews, the menace of the movies, a group of Jews, in control of the press through business and financial pressure, a group of Jews. War profiteers, 80% of them Jews. The mesmia of so-called popular music, which combines weak-mindedness with every suggestion of lewdness, Jews. Organizations of anti-Christian laws and customs, again, Jews. It is time to show that the cry of the bigot is raised mostly by bigots. There is a religious prejudice in this country. There is, indeed, a religious persecution. There is a forcible shoving aside of the religious liberties of the majority of the people. And the prejudice and persecution and use of force is Jewish and nothing but Jewish. It is an anti-Semitism. If it is anti-Semitism to say that communism in the United States is Jewish, so be it. But to the unprejudiced mind, it will look very much like Americanism. Communism all over the world, and not only in Russia, is Jewish. That's from Henry Ford, the Dearborn Independent, which was the newspaper he founded in 1922, and parts of that can be found in the International Jew, the world's foremost problem. And I would also tell you the feminist movement, the worst curse ever put upon the white women in America, was started by Jew lesbians and Jew witches, and they got everybody to buy into that program with the slogan of, equal pay for equal work. And that's evolved or devolved into women being these days in America, the white women, they're man haters, they're child haters, they're family haters, and all they want to do is work their way up the corporate ladder like an idiot, where they should be home raising their children, but they want to compete like a man, so they cut their hair short like a man, they wear a man's suit to work, they don't even wear skirts anymore, they wear a pantsuit type thing, and they're just horrible, and they've just devolved. The white women, they used to be a lot of pride that they had, and you would tip your hat to them or open a door for them or pull out a chair to help them. Nowadays, if you did that, you're called a sexist and a
male chauvinist.
Yeah, male chauvinist pig. I love that one. So you have all that, but the worst of all of these groups has been the priesthood. Because the Jew rabies, as I like to call them, have infiltrated all the seminaries, better known as cemeteries, and taught Judaism to all the white Christian or Catholic, whatever, that go there to the colleges to learn the priesthood and so forth, and they're all taught Judaism, and they come out and they tell you the two biggest lies ever told in the history of the universe, and they hang the entire Christian religion on that, that Christ was a Jew. That's the worst thing ever said. He absolutely, positively was not, because if he was, he would be a child of the devil like Cain was. But he was not. He's Yahweh in a flesh body. And the second thing is that the
Jews... Well, they also said in the Gospels, he also said in the Gospels that he would not walk a Jewry.
That's right. And, you know, so the whole thing was Yahweh wouldn't go anywhere, and nor were the disciples for fear of the Jew. Six times it says in there for fear of the Jew. Why would you feel fear Satan at all, or any of his DNA demon-spawned kids of Jews, when you have Yahweh on your side? There's nothing to fear from Satan and the Jews. First off, you're going to die. This physical body you're in, is you're going to die. It's going to perish. But you're going to go on, and you're going to be with Yahweh, as it says in Ezekiel. When this golden bowl, the body, is broke, you go up the silver cord, or the tunnel of light, as they say on their deathbed, and you're with Yahweh. Absent in this body is to be one with Yahweh. And that's a better deal than you got here now anyway. But we're put here for one thing and one thing only, to do Yahweh's will. And Yahweh commanded us in Genesis 3:15 to do war against Satan's kids. Doing war against them is not sitting down at a table and compromising with them and cutting a deal with them, and they get this and we get that. Doing war with them is to destroy them in any way, in every way you possibly can. And that's what Yahweh commanded in Genesis 3:15. You were not put here to go to Hawaii and drink Mai Tais and pina coladas and have a good time and, party and all that. You're not put here for that. You're put here to do war against Satan's kids. Satan's kids for sure are doing war against you anywhere and everywhere you look on every single front, and they're winning, and they are destroying the white race, and they got the white women murdering their babies in the womb. That's all it is baby murder. It is not abortion, some stupid, sanitized, made-up word. It's pure and simple baby murder. And those,
but it's legalized by law, Bob. It's legalized by law this time. Unlike all the other times, it's legal.
Yeah, Jew law. It's not Yahweh's law.
Oh, I know that.
Ladies, those of you who have murdered your babies in the womb, you're going to have to face Yahweh one day, and you're going to have to answer to him. And for the women out there, if you ever even think of that, doing that again, you've been warned, because your blood is off my hands, and do not do it. If you don't want your baby, have it, and then give it up for adoption to a good white family, and that's what you do. But you don't sit there and murder, and then, of course, we all know nowadays, Planned Parenthood, which is the most misnamed thing ever. It's just a baby murder factory. And what they do is they chop up the baby in parts and sell it to the cosmetic factories and then to the food distribution, especially over in China eating dead baby body parts, especially white babies, as a delicacy, like caviar or something to the Chinese. They're cannibals. And so that's what you want with the baby that Yahweh blessed you with. You're going to have to answer to Yahweh, not to me, but to Yahweh.
Hey, Bob, I think we're running out of time. I think Dr. Weed
wants we to... have a caller from Charleston, Illinois. You're on the air.
Hi. Hi, how are you guys? It's nice to talk with y'all.
Fine.
Actually, I was wanting to talk to you guys about Obadiah 118 and ask you about it. You know, where it says, Jacob shall be a fire and the house of Joseph a flame and the house of Esau for a stubble. My question is, this seems to indicate an awakening in the true house of Israel and to what the Jews have done to our identity. I was wondering what or how do you think will cause this awakening? That will our people wake to what the Jews have done to us?
Well, it's already begun.
Personally, yeah, I was going to say that same thing. I think we've already begun.
Yeah,
and the big thing is that the book of Obadiah and Matthew 13, two of my favorite parts, it talks about the complete destruction of Cain, the Esau, Edomites, whatever you want to call them, Jews today, arose by any other name is still Satan and his kids are Jews, as it were. But yeah, one day, as more and more people wake up, his elect, he wakes his elect up first. And then at a certain point, Yahweh will lift the veil of forgetfulness off of his people. And they will be awakened in a twinkling of an eye as to who's who and who's Jew. Very similar to that movie what's his name, the wrestler did where he put the glasses on and he saw the people.
Oh, they live.
They live.
Yeah,
right.
they live with Rowdy Piper.
You know what, though? Is the girl still on the line? I would like to say that I think that women, as they wake up, will be more instrumental in helping our race to wake up than men will be, in a sense. And what I mean by that is we need the support of our women again. We need the support of our women when they wake up. They need to help wake up the other women, because the other women aren't willing to listen to us anymore. And, I know that sounds strange to you, Bob, because I know the condition the women are in, but as they wake up, I think that they will be an effectual part of waking, helping to wake the men up. A lot of men these days.
Well, if they can be a Proverbs 31 woman, a Proverbs 31 woman, then they're more precious than rubies. Like you said, they have influence. You know why? Because they have influence over the cribs. They have influence over the children that are being raised and can teach them so many different things if they will take that God-blessed position to teach those children the Word of God and do that. And I think where, to answer her question, in my opinion, I think where you're starting to see the people, they haven't found the truth yet, but they're growing weary with the lies. Everywhere I go, people I come in contact with are becoming more and more and more frustrated with Judeo-religion. And religion in general. And that's really the Jews' religion. The Judeo-religions out here that control our people is really their favorite religion, not Judaism, like we were talking about a while ago. They have many religions, but that's the one that they use to control our people, because they have us.
Freemasonry is another one.
Our people, right, foolishly worshiping them through that religion. But a lot of people are growing weary with that religion and breaking free from religion. And in time, they first have to recognize that what they're being taught is lies, and eventually that will have to lead them to ask the questions that will lead them to the truth. And I believe we're drawing closer to that.
Yeah, and the one thing that I worry about, and I think about and I worry about a lot, is how many women are going, not with their own race and intermarrying and mongrelization to white. And that worries me, because you see it in all the media. You see it everywhere, and now I'm starting to see it in my own town, all the race mixing, and now I'm even seeing it in my own family with cousins and stuff, and it's so I was wondering, with this awakening, surely, people will come to wake with all this stuff, what's going on, and how they're trying to get us to kill our race. And it worries me.
You have to realize also, good.
I was just going to say, a big part of that is, now that you're awake and you understand the two-seed line message, you know, with that knowledge comes responsibility. And it's up to you to try your best to wake up family and friends and so forth. Most will reject you. The overwhelming majority
yes,
will
do.
Reject
my
you.
Family, yeah. My own family rejects me when I try to tell them about the Jews and things like that. I mean, they go to church every Sunday, but they're just, they have churchianity. They don't have Christianity. And they just
there
look at me like I'm crazy. So
and what
like,
you,
I feel like
what you do
part
at that
of the problem.
What you do at that point
is
what it says is you dust your shoes off and head down the road to the next person. Believe me, it's a fruitless thing to try to wake people up. What we're all trying to do now and guide people to the scripture and to Kingdom Identity Ministries, which has the greatest course ever put together that takes you book by book through the scripture so that there's just no denying it at the end. And that was mostly put together by Bertrand Comperet. Who was a lawyer
I love Bertrand Comperet.
Yeah, and he was fabulous as a lawyer. He never lost a case, and he would lay out the evidence so that it's, you know, irrefutable.
Yeah,
one of the biggest problems I think we have in this country is that people, as long as people see, it's another July, as long as people recognize church as a place they go once or twice or three times a week, they're never going to live for Yahweh until they understand that we are the church. Yahweh's people, Israel, are his temple, and he meets in them. That's why wherever two or more are gathered, he's there with them. We don't have to attend a house of prayer. You know, there's no sin in us getting together and meeting with people of like minds, but that's what I'm saying. These people that are in these religions, they see the building as the church. And Yahweh says, my church is not made of wood, stone, or clay. It's my people. And until they realize that, they're not going to be concerned about what they put in their belly, and they're not going to be concerned about who they lay down with either. Because it's a place they go, it's not something they are, and it's not how they live their life. And that's why, you know, but again, the more frustrated they get with religion, they're going to have to look for some alternative. It's going to create a vacuum. And they're beginning to become frustrated with these, because eventually, slowly, I think they're starting to see through some of these lies that they haven't seen. Here's something you might want to suggest to your family sometime, and this just is just a suggestion, but isn't it interesting that God is supposedly calling us out to do all these things and to love and to race mix and to do all these things? Isn't it interesting that the secular news media, Hollywood, the television shows, the movies, and everything else, isn't it interesting that all of the people who, all of the things and all the formats that hate Yahweh with a passion, hate his law, hate him and what he came in the flesh to do, they are encouraging the very same things that religion is. So would you have to ask yourself, would Yahweh be drawing man, his people, to participate in the very same things that are being pushed on television and in Hollywood and on the news media and everything else? No, he would not. Again, we have to realize what's being pushed there is completely opposite. You here's a fun fact. You go look at just about any commercial you want. This is a small realm. You won't find anything that's advertised on television, in most cases, that's not unclean. It's not a burger they advertise. They advertise a bacon cheeseburger.
That's
it's
right.
Not a steak. It's a bacon wrapped steak with mushrooms on top.
But because there's one other thing you can
do what Yahweh told us not to do.
There's one other thing you can ask your family when you tell them about the Jews, and that's say this to them. I challenge you to find me one place in the New Testament where Yeshua or Jesus says anything good about a Jew anywhere in that New Testament. Even, you know, because they want to keep on the New Testament. And also you can ask them, where did you get your frame of reference from? All the things you believe in your head, where did it come from? Because if it came from the media, which it did, and Hollywood, and the newspapers, and your indoctrinational schools, you have been educated all the way to the left. You've been only given the slant to the left. You've not been given the true history. You've not been, so once they realize that their slant has always been, if six Jews own 96% of the media, obviously, they're the only ones that have the say. And if you were to have a say there, it's only because they would allow you to have it. Okay? So in other words, that's the key. Where did you get your frame of reference from? That's something to ask.
They get it from commentary Bible.
Yeah.
Most of the time, that's...
And I would also ask this. Here's something that I find is interesting. You will never find any Jew who has ever committed an act of terrorism, a hate crime of any kind. There's never been a Jewish serial killer that was that the media portrayed as a Jew. Never. Yeah, I'm not saying there wasn't. I'm saying the media portrayed.
No, I know that.
Never said, you know, so you'll never. So a lot of times, what we have to understand, the greatest deception, in my opinion, that the Jews have perpetrated on our people is this. Not so much what they have propaganded us to believe, but what they have kept us from being able to see. It's the stuff that they bury that, to me, is the greatest propaganda. Not what's put on there. So that's propaganda, but the greatest propaganda is what's, again, you can go back right now, and in the last 10 years, you'll find shootings on school campuses or wherever committed by Asians, whites, blacks, Arabs, et cetera, but never a Jew. Never.
You only have a few seconds.
Never will
left,
they
folks.
Tell you this was a Jew. Never will they tell you it's a Jew. That's interesting because that's what they're trying to. They never want you to have any animosity or hatred for them at all. Period.
We're coming close to the end of the program, and first of all, I'd like to ask each of you if you'd like to continue this big topic next month in part two on March 5th.
Sure, no problem.
Okay,
sure,
well,
no problem.
Then we'll have part two. We have another caller on the line, and unfortunately, we just don't have the time to take that call, and I'll ask him to call back next month, and I'll ask each of you gentlemen just to continue on. That'll be on March 5th. Our closing announcement will be at the end of the broadcast. Like I said, we do carry a number of books and so on this topic, including Dr. Weed's The Origins of Communism. He didn't get a chance to tell you of his new book, but we'll take care of that next month. So I'll just say thank you to all of you, and good night to our audience. May Yahweh bless you all.
Thank you for having me.
May Yahweh bless all the white race out there.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message, and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a CD of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.